episode number 218 of the Tartan Running Shorts podcast, hosted by Tom Bryan, Lewis Walker, and myself, Kyle Gregg. So, guys, the Three Musketeers are back again, eh? And it's all interesting stories at the moment. So we've just had a very, very brief conversation. I've just wolfed down a salad with a half a whole chicken, so I'm not feeling great. So there might be a few muted conversations. Well, not conversations, but I might have to make a couple of trips to you know where. Lewis is feeling a little bit. He's one of his family members. It's his birthday, so he's been wolfing down birthday cake. Tommy, you even taken a day off because it's Monday's the
Marathon Monday.
Marathon Monday. Boston.
Patriots Day. Yeah, I think this might be the first time in maybe 6 years I've not watched it.
I was going to say, this must be the first time on TRS that you've not taken the day off to watch Boston. So we're coming in blind, folks, so just bear with us, eh? But there is someone who'll save us from certainly in terms of chat. Scott Sterling, GB International, recently took part in the World Cross Country Championships as a senior. What club is he now?
Falkirk,
that's right, Falkirk. Lewis, you'll keep us right too. So he's coming on the show in about 10 minutes. But before we get into Scott's journey into athletics or into the dubs, how are we all? How's things going? How's, aside from the short-term feelings of despair, how are we all?
What's to be despairing about, Kyle?
The birthday cake. Feeling great. You're sad because you've not watched Marathon.
Oh yeah. Well, the birthday cake was really nice, but it's just kind of sitting there at the moment. But but it'll go there. As long as I don't fall asleep, it will be okay.
That's okay. We'll save you. Don't worry. I'm sure there's a beep we can put onto there.
If I start snoring, you can let me know.
You've got your cup of tea there, so you're fine.
I got my cup of tea, so
what you drink? What are you on, Tommy? You're on
I'm so pleased you've asked. I'm on cheeky beer. I'm on a beer called Broken Bicycle Club, which is brewed from the hops yielded from my back garden.
I never
brewed last summer, so I never brewed this. A friend of mine who's retired now, he brews every year, and we've got a deal. I have a hop harvest every October time. He gets the hops, he gives me free beer, and he dropped around a case of these. And this is a lovely number. I mean, a nice bit of homebrew, a bit of settlement at the bottom, as you can see. So,
that's just authentic stuff then, eh?
Yeah, but you know, I'm well. I was in Oslo last week, and away the week before, hence I didn't jump on with you guys. But Oslo, I mean, talking of beers, £11 a pint in Oslo. It's absolutely savage. So
the wallet came back lighter.
Got a good little bit of running, not as much as I would have liked, a bit busy over there. Running wise, I'm just embracing running because I enjoy it at the moment, getting running hard when I fancy it. It's good. We've got the kids out on the bike on the weekend for the first time in the trailer, which was cool. So I could do it. These light nights come at a good time. I feel like I could do with getting into just embracing that. Do you know what? I'm a 40-50 mile a week guy. That's fine. I'm not chasing the big numbers for now. So
really good.
Yeah, it's all good. How are you, Kel? How are you? London? More importantly, I'm just going to do it a couple of weeks.
I'm doing London at the weekend.
Next week. Yeah.
This weekend. I tell you what, the taper. I don't know where. How do you taper when you haven't been running? It's the question.
It's a 6 week taper, isn't it?
I think it. Well, when Tallahassee? When was Tallahassee? That's maybe a 12 week taper. February. So a 10 week taper. Yeah, I'm looking. Well, I mean, I'm not aiming for time. So if anyone thinks I'm going for a fast time, it's certainly not going to be. I'm just going for the fun, and that's like hands down. There's no hidden agenda here. I'm just going out and I'm just going for a run.
I can't wait to try this.
now there was something I was gonna. I promise. Like, I mean, I don't want to go into the nitty gritty. But Tommy, I know you're aware of it. Lewis, I know you're aware of her being ill, kids being ill, all that kind of stuff. Just not got the training in. So we've already booked flights. We've booked. We've already entered thinking that we might get a cheeky little 6 week block when we entered that. But we've got accommodation. We're going to see the cousins.
Exactly. Quite right.
This is going to be a fun run around London with a wife. So
So here's a challenge for you. If you're going to run it fun, Kyle, I dare you. Come on, let's see a negative split. I don't. You can beat your run 2 hours then, or any form of negative split.
If he runs 2 hours, that'll be great.
No, I was going to say two hours something.
I had another suggestion, and I'm not going for a time. Like, if I run 3:30, that's fine. I don't care. I'm not. Oh. 4 hours. We might even stop for a pint. You know, I don't know if you're allowed, but hey ho, who knows? Hear me out here. Right, TRS shorts. I put my TRS shorts on.
Nice.
I'm in the club championship pen. What better way to go out than to do? How fast can I run for the first mile?
That is amazing, Kyle.
But then I was like, I'm not going to be that dude. That dude who goes off at the start. But imagine the guy wearing the pair of tartan running shorts.
Even if you don't do a banter start and leading out the men, which, let's be honest, you'd have to be running 4:30s or something, so that's not going to happen. But even if you get challenged just to get TRS shorts on TV, you'll be a hero. Even if you're like 100 metres back with Stuart McDougall for the suicide start, that's fine. That's okay.
Lewis is like... shaking his head.
It's all right. We have a proper elite on in about 4 minutes time that will fill that. But yeah. Kyle, there you go. All that would be the most amazing thing for the show, if we can get a pair of TRS shorts on TV. So you either have to get out front ish or do something entertaining during the race that warrants BBC. If you get someone like Gabby coming to speak to you on Tower Bridge, even better.
Lewis is like, this isn't what the old Kyle. This is the new age Kyle. He just goes out and runs.
Very new age, yeah.
But anyway, I don't know what to tell the grandkids. 4:42 for the first the Union Street Mile. Okay, it's downhill, but I could do about 4:40.
What's world record pace, Lewis? Like 4:40? I mean, I know they're going to run 2 hours.
It's about 4:32.
So there you go. So all it takes is someone to go out a little bit hot. Like I think, honestly, I really think you'd have to be going 4:40s to lead the London Marathon, even off the start.
Well, maybe I'll do 800 metres then. I'll do an 800 metre run. How's that sound? That's 2 minutes of...
I'm not sure you could run 2:22.
All right, this is it. That's challenge on. I think that's the challenge accepted.
Yeah.
You don't think...
If anyone's spectating at Blackheath, just please walk out to 800 metres and give us a live update on when Kyle comes through. Anyway, but we do have someone who can run 2:20 at least on coming on. So, Kyle, I'll let you intro our guest who is now waiting in the lobby.
Well, before he comes on, Lewis, he's got 2 minutes to go, but I do want to give Lewis a little what's your update, Lewis, and how's your leg? Because I don't think I bothered to ask you last time, so... Are you niggle free, injury free, or
no.
The status?
It's long term. It ain't getting better. I can run a bit with it. So hey, I'm ellipticaling. I'm doing a bit of running. I'm cycling. I'm getting in 10, 11 hours worth of aerobic exercise a week. So way more than you. I just have to accept for just now that. Is what it is. Unless I go away and get some kind of ultrasound guided steroid injection into that sort of dubious area, which I'm not sure I would trust people to do, then I think I'm probably just stuck with it for a wee while. To be fair, it's 50% better. I can run 4 times a week. I can do something like today. I did. Believe it or not, 6x50 meter sprints.
Oh, really?
And then I did 20x35 seconds with a 65-second jog back.
Yeah,
really quite hard.
That's all right.
So that's okay, and I can do stuff like that, 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah.
So I just have to be content with that for just now and then see what happens.
Well, fingers crossed then you're on, you continue in the upward trajectory then.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, well, let someone who is actually performing at a very high standard that currently is someone who's been on the running circuit for certainly a number of years, and you know, for my eyes anyway, and but it's only recently that he's kind of come to the fore in terms of really high level performance and getting call ups for the GB team for cross country, the senior team, and also a 28-minute 10K guy now. So without further ado, here is Scott Stirling.
We hope.
Scott, we hope. There he is.
Hello.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, good. Nice to hear from you. And thanks for coming on the show. This is now, I had a bit of trouble finding you, but I found you eventually. I was like, I'm sure Scott Stirling followed our Instagram page. So I was like searching for your name. I was like, Scott Stirling's followed our page. So here you are. This is brilliant. And Scott, I don't know if I've bumped into you. I probably have at some race and some time. And I'm sure we all have. But I mean, you've been running for probably a number of years anyway. It's only recently we've really seen a bigger step in terms of your performance. So I'm really keen to hear about that, no doubt, and I'm sure so are the listeners. So but before you come on before you actually announce who you are and stuff, you're I obviously know who you are, but tell us a little bit about you, you know, as like, you know, your background in running, how you got into it, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to come on, guys. Thanks for having me. It's I've been running forever and ever, really. I went down to Grangemouth Stadium, joined the Harriers when I was about 11 or 12 or something like that. But yeah. The running was always a bit of a backseat for me in terms of you know, I played football and I played rugby and stuff like that. Lots of team sports when I was at school, and athletics was always, you know, supplementary, if you like. And then I wasn't much up to much scratch with football or rugby or anything like that. But then really when I went to uni, I went to Edinburgh Uni, and I joined the Hare and Hounds when I was there, and you know, that became like my sort of main sporting outlet, if you like. Then started to take it a bit more seriously. It's just kind of tried to take some opportunities, balance it with work and stuff like that since graduating, and it seems to be going okay just now.
Nice. And Scott, what is it? Are you a doctor? What is it you do?
I'm a GP trainee. I did medicine at Edinburgh, and then I went down to the northwest of England to work for a couple of years after graduating, and then came back up, and now I'm based in Glasgow now. So I'd been working at Glasgow Royal Infirmary, and then started doing the GP training 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, in my last year of the training program now. So it's been good. I like working in Glasgow, living in Glasgow, and it's a good it's a good balance working in general practice and trying to run at the same time.
Nice.
Whoa, Scott, I'm a former GP.
Yeah, I knew that. I think I was chatting to someone and someone said, "Oh,
I did actually. I was in Glasgow for a wee while. I worked at Glasgow Royal Infirmary. I was on the medical registrar scheme there for a while before I decided I was going to do GP instead. But yes, small world.
I know. There's a lot of doctors. I run past some of the Shettleston women on Glasgow Green or in Kelvin Grove, and I think they've got about three or four doctors just in their senior women's team.
Bloody hell! Really? It's certainly changed days, because you know what? When I was doing it, and it is 1908, you know, we go back a long way. you couldn't be a doctor and run, you know, and certainly in the kind of early stages post qualification when you were doing all your house jobs and then various hospital jobs, the on call rotas were just killing. But I hear it's easy street now, Scott, you know.
Lewis's memory's going, it seems. Bless him.
I am of an age, you're right, Tom.
I'm really interested to hear, we wind back, that you said something interesting, that it's going well. It bloody well is going well. If we go back to you said when you went to uni and you started taking it seriously, what changed at Edinburgh? Because when you look at your record, it appears to be really when you start to, we see, you know, performances, really, if you plot them, that looks to be when you start to really trend upwards, and okay, the last couple of years is incredible. What changed at Edinburgh?
I guess it was just the scene in the running club at the uni. You know, a lot of it's, you know, university life, and it's a good social outlet and stuff as well. But, you know, they put together a good team at Edinburgh, and you look at the, really since when I was there, you know, the kind of the output of high quality athletes is only kind of gone up, especially on the women's side. So like when I was there, it was, you know, Mary McLennan and Steph Pennycook were the year behind me, and the women's team at that point were streets and streets ahead of where the guys were at. But then we did try to keep up with them up to a point. So, you know, Logan Rees was there at the same time. Yeah. Ewan Gillam was there when he was running really well. Mm. Andrew Lawler, who, you know, was fantastic on the hills and then, you know, got some injury issues later on. But, you know, it was just kind of surrounding yourself with those types of people that all want to do well. And when you're amongst it, and, you know, I was on the committee for three or four of the years actually that I was there. And you know, you just kind of invest yourself in it, and then, you know, as you're, you know, if you're just, that's what you're doing most days of the week, then it just comes on. And then off the back of the uni scene and the running scene and the success that the team was having, you know, it kind of spurs you on. And then I think there was a couple of kind of moments that were, or races that were kind of turning points, and thinking, oh well, actually I'm not too bad at this. Like I won the Scottish Student Cross Country Championships, and then ended up, you know, doing the road races and stuff like that as well, and coming out on top with the student championships. And it gives you that confidence to, you know, keep going and keep pushing. And as I say, having teammates that were as talented as, you know, Mary and Steph and a whole host of others, you know, really, really, you know, gives you the inspiration that you need to push on and keep going.
Did your training change during that stage, during that period?
Yeah, I think that Alistair Russell was he was helping Edinburgh Uni out for a while before he went to work with Team East Lothian, and he's a switched on guy. He knows what he's talking about. And I was always working with the guys back home at Falkirk with John Pentecost as well, kind of in the background, because he was working quite closely with Ben Stevenson, who's a good friend of mine, and he was running really well in uni as well. So but it was just everything. It was just, you know, the mileage went up, the sessions became, you know, instead of one or one and a half, it was, you know, it was three, and it was nailed on, and it was, you know, it was Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. That's what we were doing. And then the mileage, you know, went from your 40s and 50s to your 60s and 70s and beyond. So it was just an accumulation of all those things going on, really.
Nice.
How do you find I mean, it's not like you're a full-time athlete yet. You're, some people at your level are full-time athletes, like, or maybe don't work as much or what. But for you, I mean, I know Lewis was kind of half joking, but like, you must do a lot. Your hours, like, how many hours a week are you, like, actually, you know, on call for, and or like working? I guess
the structure of general practice work kind of lends itself a bit more, you know, it's a bit more regular in terms of the hours that I'm doing, and you know, how you structure your working week. And there is an on-call commitment with the training program and an out-of-hours commitment, but you can kind of pick them up them as and when you have to kind of get through. So, you know, even, you know, if it's Monday evenings or something, I'll sometimes do them or whatever. But
yeah,
even like when I was doing the jobs in the hospital, it was kind of, it was almost impossible. Like last winter time, I was working in A&E and I was trying to train, and I was really killing myself. I was absolutely exhausted. You know, I was working day shift, and then you're working a back shift, which was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next week, you know, a few days later, you're on your night shifts, and it was pretty difficult. And I was just running to and from work pretty much, you know, and you're doing like these long shifts, and I was running to work and I was showering, having something to eat, and then finishing the shift and running back, and then
yeah,
try to sleep. And you know, the results weren't there for the training load that I was doing. I was like, you know, what's going on? And then I remember speaking to John at that time, and he just went, just cut it back, stop doing the sessions, you're not going to get anywhere whilst you're working like that. And then it just meant that, you know, be up after that job, everything kind of felt a bit easier, because
yeah,
when you've been trying to do it in such difficult circumstances,
yeah,
you know that when the job becomes more, it's not like it's easy work necessarily, but you know, yeah, it's more predictable, it's consistent, and it's you know that on a Tuesday you can go down to, you know, the track or whatever, because you'll not have that commitment beyond 6 o'clock in the afternoon for your work. So it's just more that regularity and, as I say, predictability that's made it, you know, manageable.
Yeah.
Because these A&E jobs and the like are, like I say, it's impossible to try and juggle it and make the progress that you want.
The real killers, I for a while coached Joe Simmons, who's a really good hill runner.
Yeah.
And Joe at the time was a paediatric trainee, and he was posted up to Inverness, which was really good, because we had great flexibility in terms of his training. But and he was trying for the Commonwealth Games Marathon, and we'd kind of missed the 2:19 was the qualifying time. He ran 2:20 at Rotterdam. But his posting after that was paediatric intensive care for 6 months, and it just wrecked him. And there's no way you can go from you know being that high performing athlete to such intensity and hope to recover. It's a real killer. But you certainly have, though. And general practice these days is you're right, it's a lot more stable. You know, there's a lot, the on-calls, you know, you can opt in to do a bit of on-call, but it's not compulsory now, which is really good. Or certainly up in my neck of the woods, it wasn't. So you've got a bit more. Tell us about the regularity of the training that you've got and the kind of sessions that have started to bring you on to get up to the kind of level that you're at.
Yeah. So me and John Pentecost have been working together for, well, a good number of years, but kind of more intensely, I guess, over the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years really. And over the winter time in particular, we were doing Tuesdays was often, you know, I'd often go back to Falkirk and I'd, you know, do reps around Callander Park on the grassy hills and stuff. And it's always, you know, it was never anything too sophisticated. You know, John's a, you know, big believer, and it's, you know, it's just training. It doesn't have to be, you know, nuanced. It doesn't have to be, you know, you work for your 30 minutes of effort or whatever it is you want to do, and just work around. So we do big reps around Callander Park, you know, 8 minute reps, 10 minute reps. And then sometimes I just go down to Glasgow Green and do some stuff on Glasgow Green as well. But again, nothing particularly sophisticated, you know, K reps, 800 meter reps. Over the course of this winter, we kept a few track sessions in, which we hadn't really done before in previous winters, but it has been quite good just to keep the, you know, the speed and the strength good as well, because I guess on the country you can kind of get bogged down and, you know, just battling yourself around muddy hills. But to keep that kind of quality and that, you know, keeping running it at, you know, 5k pace or 10k pace, you know, was really good. And I think that kind of paid off, you know, like with races at like Telford, you know, you've got a road race amongst the cross country season. But you know, when you know that you can run, you know, 440 miling or whatever it is, or inside that, because you've been doing the road stuff and the track stuff over the winter as well as the stuff on the grass, it's been good. You know, keeping that variety, it keeps it interesting as well. You know, you get bored. That's what the winter profile's been doing. So it's been quite.
Let's drill down a wee bit more to that, right? So, on your Tuesday, you know, what would you classify your Tuesday as? Is that a 10K type session, or is it more threshold? Are you holding back a bit on the Tuesdays, you know, compared to the Saturday, for example?
Yeah, I think that, to be honest, a lot of the stuff that I do is never flat out. I do a lot of it on my own and stuff, and it's sometimes you get in your own head and it's easy to say, oh, I need to slow down on this rep a wee bit. But yeah, typically Tuesdays were kind of bigger reps, which often meant it was, you know, at 10K pace or slightly slower than 10K pace, which is, I think, that coming off the back of the weekend, you know, depending on what you're doing Saturday, Sunday, you know, doing those longer reps, and even if it is, you know, you're dropping, you know, 5-10 seconds off your per mile pace for your Tuesday reps, you know, we're never really that bothered, as long as the effort's there and that perceived effort's there. You know, we don't work off heart rate or lactate or any of that fancy stuff. It's all just about how it feels, and if it's too hard, but you need to get around your 30 minutes of effort or your 35 minutes of effort, whatever the session is. You know, if it does mean it's dropping back a bit, then that's fine. Thursdays tend to be the shorter, sharper stuff, and that's when we would do some of the track stuff as well at that point.
So tell us about the tracks. You know, I'm interested when you say speed, because you said, oh, we do some speed work, but then you told me it was 5 and 10K. And my book, that ain't speed work. That's, it might be speed work for a distance runner.
Yeah, it's been work for me. So it would be just that kind of shorter reps, you know, if it was 400s or 600s rather than doing your Ks or your miles or whatever. So I think that we dropped out of 300s one night during the winter, which was quite good, just because it meant, you know, if I'm running, you know, closer to 1500 meter pace, if you like, even though that's probably not that impressive for me, you know, it was still, you know, churning that out. But it was, I think that on the Thursdays, it was always, you know, what's coming up at the weekend. And obviously you can't take your foot off the gas for every race that's coming up. But it was a good opportunity to, like I say, so speed work, you know, the quicker end of my range. So probably, you know, your 5K or 3K pace kind of stuff, on the track or on the road was always is kind of what we've stuck to. My fastest, you know, if I'm running anywhere close to a 60 second lap on my fast reps, then that's more than enough.
So that's pretty, you know, so what it sounds like is you've got really good continuity over the winter. You're not bashing yourself into the ground. You've got, you know, you're building in some recovery, but that continuity, that gradualness has kind of built up. So you had a really good winter with the British Cross Series, and eventually, you know, being selected for the World Championships. Tell us about how your winter progressed then. Did you think it was? Did you have that aim that it was going to happen, or was it a bit of a surprise to you?
I think that as the winter progressed, it became something that we definitely thought was achievable. At the start of the winter, it was more about, I felt over the summer I kind of underachieved. I really wanted to have pushed on and ran some faster times, but that was probably representative of maybe not as good a winter, you know, the previous year. So going into the summer, I was kind of a bit disappointed and kind of salvaged that, you know, the Scottish champs, like right at the end of the summer, and that was probably my, you know, I just had to, you know, make myself feel better and get the confidence back. But then moving into the winter, it was one of these ones that was like, right, okay, well, let's try and target some of the early ones, let's see what we can do. So Cumbernauld, I was always just going to go out and just try and run the fastest time of the day. That was always the goal for that, and I was, you know, first leg, the other Falkirk boys kind of knew. They were quite happy to let me do that, and you see where it was, and then, you know, felt really good. And then going into the short course, you know, I was full of confidence. I really thought I was going to win, but, you know, you can never discount guys like Jamie Crow, because he's a top quality guy. And then it was really, I think Cardiff, when I went down to Cardiff, that was really when I kind of thought, I was like, here, we're moving pretty well here. We're doing something right. You know, I was running past, you know, these East African guys on the last lap of that race and thinking, what's going on? Like, why am I going past them? That's crazy. So then going into Liverpool, I thought, here, there's a good chance here. And even like the days leading up to Liverpool, I was feeling really good. The training had been going really well. And then that kind of, because I fell during that race, and then I really burst myself trying to get back into contention. And, you know, it's just, you know, as soon as you're doing that, you know, you're redlining, you know, you start to feel everything build up in your legs, and, you know, it's never going to come off for you. So the kind of disappointment from Liverpool is what kind of fueled the rest of the winter. So, you know, there was a handful of guys at Telford that, you know, the top five or six guys at Telford, you know, if that had been the team for going to the Eurocross, I don't think you would have been surprised given the guys that were there. So we were all running a bit upset, a bit angry, and, you know, wanting to prove something to ourselves. So that meant that was a really good race.
That was the 10K that you're referring about, your
10K
your
at Telford, because then Mark Scott was you know, he's coming back, and he kind of took it on that last part of that race, which was really, really good to test the rest of us, and he ended up winning that. And then,
but it's tight. I mean, you say just interject, only 4 seconds in it there. I mean, that's that must have been a good race.
Well, yeah, because he pulled away sort of a mile and a half to go, and then because he's a different animal on the road. Like, he's a proper road running guy, and then we all had a go at trying to reel him back in, and it wasn't until the last 800 meters where, you know, he maybe tied up a little bit, but had obviously done enough to win it. But we were starting to push him back in. But no, it was a really good race. I really enjoyed that. It was again, like I said, I think everyone was just running a bit angry.
I saw that race. He was dying in the last half mile.
He was.
Yeah, it was. Right. And I was thinking, you know, he's going to get caught. And yeah, because the motorbike guy was, you know, it was really good. It was actually really good coverage, because you could you saw him make that break, and so it's actually great for television spectators to be able to actually be live in the race, as it were, because it was really, really
good. I think a lot of folk that were there were had it on the stream, because you couldn't really see it, because it was out and back along a cycle path, so you couldn't really see much of it, but. But no, that was really good, and again, a lot of confidence for the rest of the winter. And then the way
that's fifth. Your fifth all time, Scott, as well for that time. You know,
28:40 is a fantastic time. Yeah. And was that out of the blue? Did that surprise you, or did you think that I've done what I was capable of doing?
I think my times probably weren't really representative of where I'd been. It was maybe I hadn't done the right race. So, you know, I went into it thinking that inside 29 was achievable. I was like, well, you know, I can run inside 29 minutes. I think I can do that. But, you know, the fact that it was such a big chunk inside 29, I was like, you know, quite surprised. And then I didn't even realise the kind of rankings thing until, because John was texting me, and he was phoning me and stuff, and he was saying, oh, you've tied with, I think it's Neil Tennant who's got the same time. Yeah. So I was six, and I know that sometimes you can't really compare with all the shoe stuff going on and everything like that. But, you know, it's good that, you know, there's only a handful of guys quicker. And, you know.
We've had a wee bit of a blip there.
Oh, he's back.
He's back.
You're back. You're back. But you dropped out, but you're back.
It was only one second, Scott. It was good, don't worry.
But aye, so that was Telford, and then the way that the World Cross selection kind of panned out, that, you know, it was going to be this race in London, and then, you know, they moved it, instead of being in February, it was going to be in March. Then, you know, the way that it looked was that the only guy that had actually qualified, looking towards the races that were going to be the selection races, was either Hugo Milner and Will Barnacote. So, you know, there was always places up for grabs, and I didn't run very well at that London race, but I knew that kind of every race after Christmas I was feeling better. I was feeling like the fitness is building, that, you know, the sharpness for the races is coming back. And then by the time it got round to the National and then the Intercounties, you know, I really feel as if I was, you know, in the best shape I've ever been in. You know, and I gave it a good go to try and win the National. I think that would have been fantastic. But then going on to the Intercounties course, it was so much more suited to me. You know, it was a big loopy lap that went round the back of some trees in a field, and it was dry, and it was, you know, there was one steep hill, but it suited me far more than the kind of twists and turns of Callander Park for the National. So I think that looking back over the winter, you know, Telford was obviously really, really pleasing, but Intercounties was class, because it just felt as if it was, you know, the execution of what I thought I was able to do over the whole winter, you know.
Yeah, must have been to finish that, and to know, when is it you found out that you're in the team? Is it like did you know straight away, or was it like
I think that I'd looked at the selection policy,
yeah,
and they'd said that if there were places available, the top three at the Intercounties would be selected.
Yeah.
And then discretionary places thereafter. So I think that, you know, officially it was the Monday. But Eamon Martin, who was the team manager for the senior men for the World Cross, he kind of came up to me at the end and said, we'll see you in Serbia, kind of.
Did he say that in a threatening voice? Serbia, pal.
And what was that experience like? I mean, you look at, I mean, I think if I'm right, 74th, I mean, it's, I mean, any race that is coming, your caliber, 74th, what was that race experience like, running, competing at that, such a high level?
Yeah, I mean, the race itself was horrible. It was like 27 or 28 degrees,
amazing.
And it had been like 6 degrees in Glasgow. Yeah. So I really absolutely melted. So by the last couple of laps, it was more about staying upright and getting to the finish line. I was like, I'm not coming all this way, and I'm not finishing. And what the physio guy called Stuart Butler was watching at this little shady bit on the lap. And he said, on the fourth lap, I took a little wobble, and he could see that my eyes were a bit more glazed over. So he said that he went, at that point, I decided to go to the finish line to make sure that you could walk away on your own. So the race itself was brutal. It was really tough. But it's even when I was feeling okay in the first couple of laps, it was just, you know, the guys that are running away from, you know, because normally on the British scene, you know, you get used to being in the top, you know, handful of guys, and then suddenly you're in the middle of the pack, and, you know, there's, you know, Ugandans and Ethiopians streaking away from you. You're like, what's going on? Yeah. It was pretty crazy. I was stood next to one of the Ethiopian boys, the Aragawi guy, just in the little call room. And I was you right, pal, how are you doing? And he was looking at me like, right. And I was like, all right, well, stick in the day, son. You know? And he was
just like, amazing.
This guy. It was really cool just to be rubbing, you know, rubbing shoulders with these, like, class. Because, you know, Jacob Kiplima was, you know, he was literally yards away from me, and he was getting ready to do the same race as me. So it was, that aspect of it was phenomenal. It was really top class stuff.
What did you learn from it? What's the biggest learning you would take from that?
I think that I was really conscious of not going into it and being, you know, starstruck and overwhelmed, and, you know, just, but then I think that I was speaking to some of the British guys, and you know the Intercounties was so close in terms of how it finished, and I kind of thought, it's like, well, we're all here on merit, you know. It was the first time for me in a British fest, but you know, the guys that were there had kind of got there all by different ways and means. You know, you know, Callum Johnson, you know, he'd been at the Eurocross and stuff, but again, had kind of really, the cross country is like his thing, like he's so good in it comparatively to his road and his track stuff. And then you had Tom Evans, who, you know, he's had a really interesting path in terms of how he's done his, you know, ultra stuff, trail running stuff, and, you know, 10K cross country is like the shortest thing he'll do, but, you know, he still shows up and he's still top quality. So I think that it was interesting to speak to those guys. So in terms of, you know, taking it away from me, it's like, well, you know, this is where you want to be. And, you know, sometimes, you know, everyone's path is a bit different, you know, for those guys. And for me, you know, it's a different path that I've taken to that point. So it reassures you that you're doing something right. You know, you're whatever you're doing, it might not be the same as these guys, but you're doing something right to try and get there. So it's just try to keep, you know, keep it going and get there again, because I don't think once, you know, once would never be enough. And, you know, there's always a bigger race to try and get to. So I guess that's the takeaway from it, is, you know, it's whatever's been going on has been, something's been going right, but
for sure,
you know, you don't have to be doing exactly the same as everyone else to get to these kind of levels sometimes.
Nice.
Two things that you said, so some things have been going right. The first thing is, do you know enough to bottle that and repeat it? So that would be number, you know, because there's nothing worse than running really well but thinking I'm not quite sure how that happened. So that's kind of like the first thing. And the second thing is my want. It's about your mental preparation. How much does the mental aspect of how you prepare come into your performance?
I mean, I guess the first thing is, I guess we never know how long, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen, you know, tomorrow. You know, people are running incredibly and then they get some horrible injury or, you know, stress fractures and all these other things, or, you know, you don't really know what's happening. And I guess if you can identify, that's what you say about, you know, if you can identify things that are going right as much as you can identify things that aren't going right, you know, just try to make those changes and progress it as best you can. And I think that's where me and John work really well together, because, you know, I've had various coaches and worked with different people as a junior or at uni or whoever else, and I guess it's like you say, if there is a formula that works, if there is something that you know helps you, then it's just about sticking to it. And then I guess when it stops working, you need to sort of have the ability to look back and think about it as well. I think that, you know, it's just about, you know, keeping the consistency, putting the effort in, and then you know, hoping that injuries and stuff are kept at a minimum, and then just try to keep going from and learn from what you've been doing in the past as well. I guess from the mental side of things, it's, I think that a lot of the time over the course of, you know, things like you know, like working through COVID, you'll know this, and, you know, it was more about when you get in from work. Well, prior to working through COVID, that was when I got in from work. I'd be, I don't really feel like going out for a run. I'm kind of a bit tired from working, and then when no one was doing anything during COVID, that's all I was doing. I was going to work and I was coming home from work, and it was tough. Like, that was really difficult. But then, you know, I got to go running. Like, that's the way that I was kind of like, I got to go and do it. So I get to go and practice the sport that I love doing. Like, that was kind of my mentality, and that was a big shift. And then taking that into races is, you know, being conscious of that and taking that into races is, you know, you're nervous about this race or that race, and it's like, well, I'm nervous because that's why I feel nervous, because, you know, I want to do well. So it's trying all these little niggly things that you can convince yourself to slow down or to stop or to miss a training session or something, but it's what I get to do. And, you know, the reason that I want to do it is because it really matters to me. And I think that taking that mentality into training and then taking it into racing and taking it into, you know, what's next is kind of how I try and keep myself going. Because I was after I came back from Belgrade, I went and did a session on Glasgow Green, and it was windy and the rain was coming in sideways and it was cold, and I was on such a downer. I was like, this is miserable. This is absolutely miserable, and I was applauded round. And then I phoned John afterwards, and he was like, "How was your session?" I was like, "Oh, rubbish." You know, and I was really, you know, I was like, it was like a little schoolboy. I was like, "Oh, it's rubbish. They don't want to do it, John. They don't want to do it." And he was like, I'll speak to you Thursday, I'll speak to you Saturday. So then we went into a session on Saturday, and I was like, oh, class session, I love running. You know, like, absolute swing, just because, it's difficult sometimes with the mentality of it, but I think that, you know, as long as you've got your head screwed on and you surround yourself with the right people, you know, John's good at keeping your feet on the ground and not letting you get too excited about things, but also as a bit of a reset when things, you know, when you're dragging your feet and don't want to do a session, you know, he's good at, you know, keeping you going from that point of view as well.
It sounds though that from what you're saying, you've got the real key, one of the keys for you is that intrinsic motivation. You get to do what you love to do. You've got a big why there, you know, that you're fulfilling. And I think that's probably really quite a key driver for you, which is great to hear.
No, yeah, absolutely. And I think that, it's when, you know, if there's things like difficulties, you like as you say, like, you know, point back to working through COVID, and it was, you know, it was a miserable time for a lot of people, but, you know, the outlet was running, or, you know, I moved down south after uni and I was, you know, kind of trying to work in unfamiliar places and even unfamiliar systems, working down in England and stuff like that. But, you know, even though I wasn't taking myself, my running that seriously at that point, you know, it was always an outlet for me as well. So I think that becoming conscious of it, you know, that's the reason that I always came back to do. Because I
want. What about, in terms of motivation then, so what's next? What do you, I mean, you've tasted world championships. What's next? And also, I want to circle back on note, and I really want to hear about national cross for a Falkirk lad. You talk about training at Callander Park. That, I mean, yeah. What are the, so bigger, what's next for Scott Stirling? What's the ambition? But also national cross, surely there's a, surely that top podium must be an absolute dream for a boy like you.
Yeah. We'll do the national bit. Yeah. So yeah, I think that the last couple of years with the national, I thought that I was, you know, I was like, oh, maybe I'll get a medal. And then one year my shoe came off, and I was like, well, and then I was like, oh, that's such a silly thing to have done. And then last year I was, you know, I was coming off these shift work and stuff, and I was fifth, and I was like, oh, you know, that's a bit better. But then this year it was I'm going to win. You know, that was it. I was like, I'm Jamie's, you know, Jamie's class, and he's a good guy. And I think that almost me catching up with him, I think galvanized him a little bit and made him get a bit quicker, which was a bit annoying. But I think that, you know, to have come, you know, the Falkirk guys were made up. They were absolutely buzzing, and, you know, folk that my mum and dad see, you know, in the park when they're walking the dog and stuff, were, you know, they were coming up to them and they were like, oh, that was great, Scott did so great and stuff. And even the guys, we went down to the wee clubhouse that we've got down in the town, and you know, like Davey Lothian, you know he was made up for me, and Willie Day was there as well. And, you know, Willie Day was running with, you know, when the national, you know, in the with Jim Dingwall and stuff, when they were all, you know, they all should have been up there and had all spent themselves during the road relays when they were doing the ETG and stuff like that. So, but, you know, they always felt as if they should have been up there for getting the medals for Falkirk. So, yeah, look, I think that I'll definitely keep going, and I'll just have to keep going and give it another go over the next couple of years and try and win it, because it would be, like you say, being in Falkirk, and my mom and dad live a mile away. Like, it's like a mile away from where the, so it is so local for me. So it would be.
Did you not also, like, there's an article I read a while. Did you not work in the grounds as well, or something like that?
Yeah. So during the summer when I was at uni, I would I would work on, there's like swan boats on the wee lake.
Oh, yes.
So I would go, I'd work for the council, and I would, yeah. I'd be the swan boats guy.
That's no, like your, Lewis, is like, that's great visualization there. That's working tough. And just visualizing your route.
Remember the course used to go around the back of them? You remember that used to go around the, along the side?
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
I was thinking that this year, Carl. I was saying that to the guys. Sorry, Scott, but yeah, right. So you know that park. That's
yeah, the park is the park.
It's brilliant. So, like, I mean, yeah, we kind of mentioned this, like, what's like, I mean, you've kind of gone, like, as I said, you know, you've just stepped up another notch. Like, what are you thinking of doing? What have you got any, like, sort of, like, what's your short-term, long-term ambitions? Lewis mentioned just before, I'm stealing his thunder here, but, you know, you haven't gone long yet. You know, is that something that you're thinking of? Or what's the sort of, like, story looking, you know, if you were to write it now?
Yeah, so I think the short-term, like, this summer is going to be just try and get the five and 10K time down. Like I'm, you know, the times that these 5K guys are running like 15s and 3Ks and stuff, like I'm not going to be the progress to be made at 5K is probably quite limited because I'm not fast enough over 15, like, and I think that's, you know, I think that, you know, you have to be a bit pragmatic about that but you know, I think that I can get the 5K time down, and I want to see what I can do at 10K, you know. If you know, I'm doing that night of the 10Ks in Highgate, which is kind of the big one for the first part of the summer, and that's kind of what we're gearing towards just now.
Nice. Okay.
So you know, if that, you know, depending on what comes off there, you know, I might be a 10K runner. That might be what I do. But I think that, you know, even the times that you need to be running to try and get to these championships, like, you know, the European champs is now 27:50. For the 10K, just to get a look in, but you've got guys in the British team that are running, you know, way inside that. So I think that to get the times down is kind of the first priority just now. But yeah, I think looking towards the road is probably where I'm going to be in terms of further opportunities, whether that's, you know, European Championships or Commonwealth Games or whatever it may be in the next few years. But I think that it's probably going to be me and John are kind of eyeing up doing a half towards the end of the year, you know, as the summer changes into the winter, and see what we can do. Because, you know, if my 10K time comes down and then, you know, you run, you know, 62, 63 or whatever, you know, it gives you some I mean, being able to have a good go at a marathon, you know, in a couple of years' time, I think that that's where, as I say, you know, the opportunities in terms of vests and championships and stuff is probably going to lie for me in the kind of that these next few years.
Hey, nice.
That's amazing. Exciting times. One, you know, just while you're kind of talking about that, obviously, you know, as you get to the sharper, I mean, you're already at the sharp end, but even sharper, you have to start thinking about what are the other sort of smaller, or the gains, or the sort of nuances in terms of your training, your makeup, your routine and things. Do you find them? Because there's probably many runners who say, right, I think full time's the best way for me, or part time, or you know, as in full-time athlete, or rather than a full-time sort of professional, like that I suppose you are, you know. What's like, you know, what do you think that looks like for you? Do you think your work kind of helps your training and your racing and your performances, or do you think it hinders? Is there like an element of a sort of a happy medium there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that I've not really known anything different, you know, since graduating. It's always been about, you know, you need to work, because that's what you're doing. You know, and it's always been, you know, and I've not, like, I've not dropped down to, you know, less than full time, which a lot of colleagues do for a number of reasons. But I guess it's, you know, I think that, you know, you hear about. Athletes, you know, don't really have much to do with their time, and you know they pick up things. You know, I know a few guys that have done, you know, like the open, like picked up an open university course or something like that to try and fill their time. And I guess, you know, at the same time, the opportunities need to be there as well. You know, no one's offering to pay me to do anything other than be a doctor just now. So I guess you can have to balance it up. I think that with, you know, becoming, if I finished, you know, if I finished the training program for general practice in August, all being well. So, you know, that in itself, you know, brings its own flexibility as well. You know, you can pick up shifts as a locum, you can work as an out of hours doctor. So I think that it's one of these ones that you have to try and find it yourself. And, you know, because I've been working, running around, you know, work, I've been doing running as work, will pose its own difficulties as well, because there'll still be a commitment that I have to do to, you know, make enough money to pay my mortgage and all that stuff as well. So I think it's difficult, but I think that you have to kind of ride the waves, ride the opportunities that come your way. But with that being said, you know, you still have to, there's a degree of responsibility that you have.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be nice if a few things just disappeared.
So the thing, Scott, though, is you know, step back a little bit. Your current situation is working very well for you right now. So you would, I know there's always a pull to do something different, but sometimes it's better to say, my current situation is actually working okay. I'm going to see if I can just eke this out a bit longer until I need to make a change, rather than kind of the grass is a bit greener if you're half a running pro or a full running pro. And I think you're absolutely right. It's not greener. And I think for some folk, it does their head in. You know, they go pro and it does their nut in because they don't have enough to do. And I think... Yeah, if it ain't currently kind of majorly broke, and you're performing well, and you're still continuing to improve, then I would ride that for a wee while, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right, and I think that you don't, you know, like we've said, you know, you don't know what's up ahead. You don't know what's up ahead, and if it is that, you know, I find myself plateauing and work is the limiting thing, you know, it would still rely on the opportunities being there to then not do the working thing alongside it. And I guess the nature of medicine is that you don't ever really want to be away from it too long, because, you know, it's skill based, it's knowledge based, and as soon as you're not, you know, going through the processes that you need to be going through to keep yourself skilled up, you know, it's difficult to walk away and come back. So it's not something that I'm itching to get away. It would be great to, you know, if someone comes and says, oh, let's go and spend a month at Altitude or whatever it is that they might come along, you know, it would be great to be able to drop everything and say, yeah, sure, I'll see you there. But I think that, you know, there is a lot of realities that you need to face when you're doing that. So I think that it's like you say, Lewis, I think I'm things are going well, and I'm able to strike that balance just now. So as long as it's going in the right direction, I'm, you know, be quite happy persisting with it. But I think that, you know, sometimes the difference between this whatever sub elite and proper pro guys, you know, is everything.
There's less risk in a way as well, isn't it?
If you're not able to do the, you know. Yeah, that's it. So if that's the difference, then, you know, that's where that lies. But as like you say, Lewis, as long as progress is happening, then
It's interesting. I mean, I've got a there's an English lass that I coach. She's an FY2 Foundation Year 2 doctor in London. Mm. She runs a pretty, I mean, she runs 15:40, 40 for 5K. She's pretty good. She's run for the English team a few times on the roads, but she's in a hard job doing her FY2 rotation. She is going to be finished that in August. She's going to take the opportunity, as you said, to do some locums and just have a bit more control over her time. But the bottom line is as you say, you need to keep engaged with the professional side of what you're doing. And if you can do that and get a balance, then I think everything can work well together. It's getting that balance, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that talking, even actually on the World Cross team, Lauren Hayes was there, and she's a GP trainee as well.
Yeah.
But she's also a mum, and you know, she's been doing her training part time, but also she's been to more championships than I've been to, and she's also got, so you don't know what you don't know, I guess. And if something's working for me, you know, her situation mm-hmm. seemed a lot more difficult than when I was chatting to her about her training and her training, you know, for athletics as well as her training for medicine as well. So, you know, I think that it's one of those ones that she'd obviously found something that had been working for her in not dissimilar circumstances to me, but with maybe some, you know, added factors on top of it as well. Yeah. So, it's interesting to see how these other people in, you know, similar situations end up dealing with it, because your man Phil Sessman, because he ended up doing foundation training. I think he did that part time because of, you know, the opportunities that were presented to him, you know, the earlier stage post graduation. And you know, now he's going to the Olympics, so you know, it does. There's no one right way, I guess, but it is interesting to see how these different people that are in quite similar situations manage it and are able to progress. It's an interesting game to be in. Yeah.
Well, we better give you some time back, but we can't leave you without asking some far-like questions.
Okay.
So, Kyle, take us away.
Oh, no, I'm desperate to know what shoe you wear. What's your favourite? It can be, it doesn't have to be a running shoe, but just any shoe, but more so running. I want to know what Scott shoe. Sterling's running shoe choice is.
Well, I'm actually on this On Support program now.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Nice. Cool.
This it's not like a contractual thing or anything, but. They're kind of supporting these a few British guys this year because obviously they're based in Switzerland and stuff, and they've been supporting some triathlon teams, but mainly the top guys. So
yeah,
I've got a few. They sent me a few shoes, and well, even before that, I'd been wearing some shoes of their stuff as well. So I do like their stuff. I like their. I'm in the Cloud Monster 2s just now for a lot of the a lot of the easy miles and the longer stuff as well, which. I quite like, and then their racers quite. I like their racing shoes, the Cloud Boom Echo 3 that they're on now, and because you know the Nike ones and the Adidas ones, and you feel as if you're another foot off the ground, and I'm quite tall and lanky, so I'm like I don't really want to be feeling like I'm too much more off the ground, so their ones like a little bit. For some sessions on the track, just to try and save the calves and stuff from wearing spikes too much. But I do like their racer. So yeah. I was the pair that On had sent me, so it was quite good.
Nice.
Tommy, what is your pre-race meal? Either the night before dinner you're shooting for or your morning breakfast. What's your pre-race meal?
Breakfast is always just porridge. Porridge, nice. A banana, you know, a big cup of coffee or something. Like, it's, I don't think it needs to be Yeah, anything more than that. I think Elliot Kipchoge, he eats porridge in the morning of a race as well, so it's all the right stuff to be doing.
You know what, you're a simple man, Scott. I like it. Your sessions are keep it simple, your breakfast, keep it simple. There's a lot to be learned from you.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be fancy stuff, no.
Nice.
So a last far-like question from me is, Scott, what's the session you hate the most? You absolutely loathe it, but you have to do it.
For last summer, I couldn't get my head around K reps on the track. So John had put the K reps in. And so 400s, 600s, 800s would be doing on the track and it'd be fine. And as soon as... I'd always go out too hard or you know, the middle one would be too slow and I'd be like, well, why can't I just get my head around this? So last summer, I really, every time it was K reps in the track, I'd be like, oh, no, this is a nightmare. but I've been a bit better with them. I've been a bit better with a couple of K reps the other week. But as part of something else, like as part of, like, you know, we did some forums and stuff as well, so it was a bit different. But when it was just, you know, if it was 8Ks or whatever, I was like, nah.
Better if it's mixed pace with a K or two in the mix.
That was it. So that was last summer. I really couldn't get my head around it, but maybe this summer I can just try and sort it out, because that was a real killer.
Oh well, I hope we haven't planted a bogey there for you.
What's have you got a sporting hero, running hero?
Sporting hero, running hero. I was doing the stride athletics thing the other week, and they asked me a similar thing, and then I was a bit taken aback, but then the first
Jim thing Dingwall, was, Jim Dingwall, must be Jim Dingwall.
I did say Jim Dingwall. I did say Jim Dingwall. The thing about Jim, I never met Jim Dingwall. He died before I was really a big part of it. But so the person that I said for Stride Athletics was the first thing that I really remember with, like, the big athletics thing was when Kelly. And thinking that was, you know, class. I remember watching it on the telly and just being, you know, that was so good. So I think that for athletics wise, I think that was probably a big point that I really enjoyed watching. But then I get the Falkirk team, you know, because Willie Day's been about Falkirk for as long as, you know, as long as I can remember, Willie Day was at the track taking, you know, any discipline, you know, if it was the javelin or whether it was the long jump or something like that. So, you know, there are guys that you know, and John speaks so highly of the guys of that era. And John sort of you know, if you ever want to ask him about it, he's got endless stories about all these guys. So it's quite good to sort of be well, from a Falkirk point of view, sort of being compared to these guys, because they are proper heroes within the club.
Amazing.
Nice. I've got a super basic one before Kyle. I know what Kyle's going to ask. Favorite race? Best race moment you've got?
Best race moment. I think the Inner Counties was good. Crossing the line, knowing that I'd achieved what I'd achieved, I was pretty elated. I was pretty good. So I think that, yeah, and I think the Inner Counties, I can't think of a better feeling, despite not, you know, I didn't win or anything like that, but, you know, I knew what I'd achieved, and it was
nice.
It was almost like I couldn't wait to phone the people that I needed to phone, and you know, so cool. I think that was a special moment. Yeah.
Nice. Jeez. And Kyle, given we know Scott is not only is a Harry's ex-captain, but has also been to Hell of Man, I know what question you're going to ask, Kyle. Fire away.
Surely to Christ, you've done this. The beer mile. What's your beer mile time? Don't say you haven't. Don't say, as a Harry's captain, you opted out of the beer mile.
I did a beer mile So there was this like international beer mile thing that these Canadian guys had organized. And it was in London. It was at, you know, where Saracens play rugby. It was at that stadium. Yeah. Mm. And so they organized this thing. And Ian Whiteside of Carnethy, he'd chucked my name forward to some American contact. And then they asked me if I wanted to do it. So I went down with just, you know, guys for the uni, and then didn't really anticipate how serious these American guys took it. So we were like, aye, whatever, crack on, boys. But then they disqualified us. They disqualified us. We'd left too much beer in the bottles. And I was like,
oh no.
So actually, I think that my best beer mile is a DQ. No.
Oh, well, there you go then. So, you know, you're at the bottom of the leaderboard then, Scott.
That's it.
Brilliant. Well, Scott, it's been amazing chatting to you. Like, you know, that's exactly an hour of just amazing stuff and getting to know you as, you know, as Scott and as a runner and as a doctor and, you know, obviously common ground with Lewis. And, I mean, you know, for me anyway, just following your journey and knowing your name, you know, for many years and just seeing this big step up, but I think it's amazing. And just it's a true, like, you know, you can still, there's still something there when even as you know, times get rough and stuff, because obviously, you know, you've just overcome that by finding this purple patch. So long may the purple patch well continue done. Scott,
yeah, good luck, mate.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me on as well, and it's exciting. So hopefully, like you say, hopefully it continues.
But the last request, send us one of your best picks as well. Keep it clean for the podcast, like. But if you don't, I'll find one. So
okay, I thought you might have better luck than me, to be honest.
Brilliant. All right,
thanks, Scott.
Okay.
Cheers,
great
Scott.
For coming on.
Well, thanks, guys. Later, man.
Cheers.
See you. Bye.
Very good. What a great guy. Really enjoyed that.
That's brilliant.
Very
grounded,
very down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
I love it. Keep it simple, listeners. You've heard it from the best. That seems to be the way to go.
There you go. And it's interesting. You know, you look at some of these athletes and they are fully pledged in their sport, but that's all they do. And this guy's, you know, he's a GP and he's working hard, he's training hard, and he's achieving big things. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how things go. Absolutely. So, now Monday is Patriots Day, which is the night we're recording. Now, we hot off the press, Boston. You know, Tommy, we talked about Boston, and it's the day that you take off, and to this time around, you haven't been able to watch Boston Marathon. Like, do we know, you know, from a TRS perspective, we talk about each year, is any sort of headline acts you want to kind of sum up?
I mean, Lewis had mentioned beforehand, I can't remember if it was before we came on or off or during the show, that Lemma, who won it, went out like an absolute steam train, which is easy to do in Boston. It's a downhill course, first half, and paid the price, but managed to hold on for the win. Was he 2:05? And then on the women's side, it was Helena Beery for the win.
Yeah,
legend.
I think I heard that. I haven't kind of looked at it, was like the ins and outs of all, but I think she dropped like a 4:40 as a breakaway, which a 4:40 mile, that must have been shifting that. But clearly a tactical affair, no doubt, but a clear win for Helen. So amazing stuff.
Yeah, very amazing. Good. Yeah, I'd like to be back. I would like to run Boston again. I think it'll be for the hat trick, but it will not be a competitive one for me. But that's cool. And of course, we've got London this weekend, which we're very excited to see. Kyle obviously talked this up beforehand. So listeners, I think in terms of Scottish, I'm really hoping to see, I'm excited, I should say, to see how Mary McLennan goes, her block, and you know, we know what. the great work that that she does with Ross Cairns and his group. So yeah, hoping and she has a good run. Looking forward to seeing that. Other Scottish, who else have we got going down from a Scottish perspective? Any names you know of on the line? Apart from Mr. Cal Gregg, of course.
And
Debbie Gregg.
Debbie Gregg, yeah.
Miles Edwards. Miles is going.
Of course, Miles is going. Yeah, Miles is. Okay, we won't ask Lewis to comment because he's obviously far too close to this subject. But Miles, I think Miles will look good. I think in his training, I'm excited to see Miles go. Aberdeen boys got a decent team going down?
I don't know about that.
That'd be interesting.
Who's taking part in Metro? I mean,
So we've got
Will
Mackay is going down. So Will always, it turns out, he's one who can grind out a solid run. He'll be between, I would say, 225 to 230, that sort of window. Rico's going down, but of course Chris is off the back of his, was it fourth all time 100k run? So he's gonna, I think he'll be with you in the fun run pen, Kyle.
Is he doing that negative split? Is he gonna,
well, there's an interesting one. Who's going to be the first pair of TRS? Well, I don't know if Chris is a negative split man. Which will be the first pair of TRS shorts home? Given Rico's a regular in them, you're going to have them on. I'm sure there's going to be some other listeners, hopefully. So those two are going down. There's a couple of other guys.
Alan Christie, Jordan Kenny Cruikshank, I think.
Jordan Cruikshank, he's another one. Yeah. If he has a good run, he could go well on the 230, I think.
Yeah. And closer at home, there's the Murray Marathons on.
That's right. There's the Murray Marathon, yeah. And just actually one final shout on London. Claire Bruce, Metro's going down. She's looked really good in her block. She's working with Sophie Dunnett these days and is looking really good. She had a great run at Inverness, good run at the National. So hoping Claire, good luck to Claire on that one. But yeah, close to home. I've got a feeling that Palavar Sam Milton's running Murray Marathon, and Sam's a bit of an animal. On these sort of local races, so he's another one who could run well.
Jim Toll, is he not doing,
that's right, Jim's
Money
running
Marathon.
The Murray Marathon, yeah.
Yeah.
Jim, who, yeah.
Very good. Well, shout outs galore now. I mean, I don't really, there's lots of news, I'm sure.
There is. And then the following week, I was going to say one thing we haven't talked about. I don't know. I looked into it. It didn't really interest me that much, although this is a terrible thing to say, someone from Aberdeen. But where there was a 10K in Aberdeen over the weekend, the PNJ Live, PNJ Tekka 10K, it was like four laps of Tekka.
So anyway,
ouch. Well done to everyone who did that. Great to see a 10K back in Aberdeen. There's also Balmoral week on Saturday, which I'm running.
Oh, you're running? Very
good. I'm going. So what I'm running in the work. We've got a work corporate team going down.
Oh,
dragged me out. Fiona's doing the 5K, so we'll hand over kids between that, which would be nice. Beauty of races that are not the same time. So excited about that.
Yeah, very good. And are you, do they fancy the 15 miler?
No.
No, not.
I think that would be my mileage last week was about 15 miles. So no, that's not one I fancy.
Very good, very good. And do you know what we didn't talk about? Round the houses. Scott won that.
I had it bloody written down. I was going to say, ask him on that, because that's another local one for him.
I just saw that just now. Yeah. I mean, clearly just a jog for him, like a 30, just a cheeky little 30-10, you know, just a wee casual jog. But I win nonetheless. So Annabelle Simpson had a good run.
Yeah.
Did she run?
34 flat, I think it was.
Yeah. 34
flat.
Nice. Yeah. Because that course is not as quick as it used to be. It's a wee bit windy, I understand, in the second half of the race.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, there was lots of other events on. But as Dougie's got the call up, though, I see Lewis.
Yep. Yeah.
He's got the official
call up
to the world 100K champs in India. Jeez, oh, you'll have to.
Are you going to
get in the sauna for that, Lewis?
We're just working things through just now about heat acclimatization and
how do you prepare for Delhi belly? That's the big question that we've got for you.
Yeah,
you're on like a strict, tough diet for the next 6 months.
Thankfully, it's not in Delhi, so that's the
wow. Okay, come on.
It's in Bangalore or something like that.
All right.
Do they pay for the coach to go over? Or is it just the athlete?
UK Athletics at the moment hardly pay for anybody to go anywhere, you know, if they can help it. You know, they're all in the small print.
They'll be chapping the TRS podcast funds.
might want to try to secure some sponsorship then between now and November.
What's the thing about there
in terms of preparation and particularly, as I say, the heat acclimatization and all around that kind of stuff.
So, December.
It's got a decent amount of time away to.
December, yeah.
Okay, so that's quite cool and a bit of time for prep. Does that now lead to that then? Is that the?
Well, yeah. So the challenge, you know, ideally you'd like to do a marathon beforehand and have a wee bit of a break and then do a build, but there's no time to do that. So what we'll probably need to do is think about some decent half marathons over the summer. So that you're not killing yourself doing a marathon and then leaving a reasonable amount of prep time. I think we'll change our prep quite a bit because this will be more of a get round 100K. You know, it's not going to be one where, you know, because it'll be about 28 degrees heat, I think, and something like 50% humidity. So it will be a bit of attrition there. So I think you've got to prepare very differently. I think you're going to have to prepare for, you know, the conditions that you have to race the conditions and not race the time, and not race other people. You've got to kind of really weigh yourself up against what are the conditions you're facing and how will I best be able to, you know, to do that. So I would think it will be a kind of, you have to think about being rock steady Eddie with it and being really quite within yourself for the first 50-60K, drinking lots, get your nutrition right, and you know, because you can imagine the carnage that's likely to happen in the last quarter of the race, Kyle.
it's that's the most exciting part, you know, just don't know what's going to happen.
We've got a history though, Kyle, because you and I many years ago prepared you for the World Championships for the British team in Italy when it was 28 degrees up a mountain, and we had you in saunas and all sorts of stuff. You finished first Brit, you know?
That's it, yeah.
You had a very good run, did you not, that tie?
Yeah, you were 24th.
That's probably one of my best runs, eh?
Yeah.
You know, those are the reflections. I'm sure there's an episode about it somewhere.
Just send that over to Dougie. That's the Dougie, if you're listening. Episode 32 of TRS podcast. That's all you need to know for the next 6 months. That'll get you around.
Yeah. Although the last 100 meters, I remember getting heat cramp.
You hobbled over the line. Yeah.
50 meters to go, but that's all I needed, you know. It's the best time to get your cramp when you're almost at the end. So. But anyway, it is good to reflect and to move on to new goals and horizons and whatnot. But I'll see you guys on the other side, eh?
Yeah.
I might give you a wave on the TV if I find a cheeky little camera somewhere.
You can be sure we'll be tracking you. Our phones will be following your wee dot around that.
I wouldn't bother tracking me, folks.
We'll be tracking. listeners, we'll find a way to get his bib number to you and search for him. But joking aside, good luck to you. Good luck to Debbie. Good luck to any listener who's heading down to London. Well done to those in Manchester for the weekend. I haven't seen any Tira shorts on Twitter or anything on Strava.
Do you know what? I did see, Gazitude, he had his shorts on, his TRS shorts on. Let me give him a shout out. Gareth Davies.
Gareth Davies.
Yeah, I don't actually know. He did Manchester Marathon. I don't actually know how he got on, but I see Lachlan Oates. He had a great 220 job at Manchester. So great run from him there. I don't really know if we've had many. Greg Cor McLeod, I think he had his cheeky tartan running shorts on. Not really sure anyone else. Mark Biagri, he usually has his shorts on. Yeah. I haven't seen him with him for a while. But anyway, lots of things happening, lots of races. 2 years ago we'd be saying the complete opposite. So long may this continue, eh?
Absolutely.
But folks, if you do want to hear us, get in touch with us, shout outs, whatever, info, questions for the Doc Talks, tartanrunningshorts@gmail.com, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you can get us anywhere. So don't be a stranger, folks. We'll see you next week. Well, not next week, a couple of weeks' time, I think.
Okay, cheers now.
Bye.
See you later.
That's a wrap.